on my lap and she's drinking champagne. Her white skin got a satin eyes. I'm looking up into the sapphire sky. A well-dressed man waiting on the last plane. Standing in the gallows with my head in the noose. Any minute now I'm expecting all hell to break loose. Crazy and time strange. Locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. This place ain't doing me any good. Wrong town, should be in Hollywood. Just a second there, I thought I saw something. Gonna take dancing lessons to the jitterbug rag. Ain't no shortcuts, gonna dress in drag. Only a fool in here thinks he's got anything to prove. Lot of water under the bridge. Lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen. I'm only passing through. People are crazy and time's strange. I'm locked in tight, my brain. Used to care, but things have changed. Walking 40 miles of bad road. The Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Some days are too hard to touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't win with a losing hand. Feel like falling in love with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy and times are strange. Locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. I just don't show it. You can hurt someone, not even know it. The next 60 seconds could be an eternity. Gonna get low down, gonna fly high. All the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. I'm in love with a woman who don't even appeal to me. Mr. Jinx and Miss Lucy, they jumped in late. I'm not that eager to make that mistake. Some people are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This Mike down here in Arizona land. Your mind is your primary weapon. Today is 13 August 2018. It's a Monday, and you're tuned into Liberty Tree Radio. It's about 5 minutes or so after 8 a.m. Arizona time. My email address is altabib762@hotmail.com, and that's altabib762@hotmail.com. As always, we dedicate this broadcast to Lily Grace Antoinette. Have quite a bit of border news. I guess it seems to me that there was some leader of some gang or cartel or something or other down in Mexico in prison, and there was a prison fight, and he got stabbed to death. So now there's been a giant wave of killings in Mexico. 20 here, 10 here, 5 there. You know how it is. It just never ends. A continuation of this broadcast that we carry on the micro effect on Thursdays and Fridays starts at the same time, but it goes for 2 hours on Thursday and 2 hours on Friday. So being that we have different levels of listeners here, some of the information that the listeners are receiving might be a fairly new, these concepts, insurgency, political subversion, underground activity, the human factors, recruiting, motivation, the psychological factors. Some of the things right now is that we're covering here on this broadcast have to do with just after we've thrown out the term insurgency, defined it, pointed out that it's a political military struggle, and it's a type and a method of warfare, and then that gives you a surface definition of the points that we're trying to get across. And then as you start to learn more about the insurgency aspect of it, and then by studying the individual insurgencies, then you have a better knowledge that how these tactics, techniques, and procedures are applied depending on the terrain, the people, the cause, the time, the space, the will, etc. Those factors can have a bearing on the types and methodologies of, we'll have two scoops of that one and only a half a scoop of that one, because the funding or the terrain or the sanctuary across the border stuff applies here, the internal, the external, the inclusive, the exclusive types of groups and things like that. So that's kind of what it is. Also, I give you at the bottom of the hour when we come back from the break, I give you Bob Miner's contact information. Also, it was kind of odd to come across some information recently. I came up on the last hour of the Intel report on Liberty Tree Radio last Friday and pointed out an issue having to do with Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Southern Poverty Law Center. So I have that, and there's a couple of other oddball but pertinent, interrelated, going along with some of the news of the day. And I don't mean all this distraction of about, oh, President Trump and the Russians and the Russians and President Trump and that giant distraction and secret recordings and somebody's book and Good Morning America and this is the dirt that I have and President Trump said the N-word back when he was in The Apprentice and but we have recordings but you can't hear them and the accusation is the crime, etc. No, not none of that information. I'm talking about the information that's out there, but you're not hearing about it because you're being distracted by the fire in California or the protest in Charlottesville or Washington, D.C., and, the arrest, but they never say it was Antifa that was arrested, but they'll imply it was the racist neo-Nazi bigot-hater white people over there, the alt-right that were causing the problems, and the helicopters, and on and on. You know the drill. If you'd like to partake in today's broadcast, I'd kind of ask maybe that we can hold off at least until after the bottom of the hour, because I'd like to at least kind of get this thing rolling in a certain direction. But if you would like to call, then you can call 712-432-0900. 712-432-0900. And then the mechanical voice will come on, and then you can punch in 957-464, and then the pound sign. And then to unmute your phone, you can press star 6. So that's 712-432-0900, and then 957-464, the pound sign, and then star 6 to unmute your phone. One second, I need to cough there. And let's see, that's kind of what it is. So I got some oddball, some of it is kind of directly pertinent to what we're covering, but then again, it's the news that you don't want to hear. Now, this is out of Saharita Sun, SAHARITASUN.com. I could say housing development down in southern Arizona, one of the Jerkburg outskirts of Tucson. And Tucson area is the county that it's in is Pima County, P-I-M-A. And the headline here, it's county again delays accepting $1.4 million Stone Garden grant. Now, of course, we all understand that the leftists, there's two pretty big leftist enclaves in Arizona, and that's down around Tucson and up by Flagstaff. A great big university is down in Tucson. It's the U of A, and up in northern Arizona, it's NAU. But the rest of the state is fairly well level-headed, but you've got these leftist blocks up in Tucson and Flagstaff as to where they put these things. And let's see, the date on it is the 7th of August, 2018, and it was updated on the 9th. So what was the, I think Friday was the 10th, so that would make this a Thursday. In a surprise move, the Pima County Board of Supervisors voted 3-2 on Tuesday to again delay making a decision on accepting $1.4 million federal Operation Stone Garden grant until its next meeting, September 4. The grant program promotes cooperation amongst Customs and Border Protection, U.S. Border Patrol, and local law enforcement agencies. The grant funds overtime and mileage costs and equipment for joint operations among agencies tasked with securing America's international border. Over the past 12 years, the Pima County Sheriff's Department has accepted 44 Stone Garden grants totaling $16.4 million. District 1 Supervisor Allie Miller and District 4 Supervisor Steve Christie, who represents Green Valley and part of Saharita, voted against putting off the decision. So the leftists down in Tucson want open borders, so the Board of Supervisors controls the money going to the Sheriff's Department, so if we can starve the Sheriff's Department money for funds, then they can't run border interdiction projects. So sometimes when people make comments of about things going along the southern border, there are people that want to get out there and do the job, but it's the leftists that are holding the purse strings that are preventing. Now, this is another one that's kind of interrelated, but it's just kind of odd that the terminology, and let's see, it's out of the HuffingtonPost.ca, and I kind of notice it's funny to me, in a medical background, medicine, the Everything's got a lot of abbreviations. You know, EKG, IV, EEG, XYZ, do, re, mi, et cetera, et cetera. And the medical abbreviation for cancer is CA. So I just find it odd that it's HuffingtonPost.ca. Enough said. And it says here it's an 8-page article, and I don't know. A lot of times these things say they're 8 pages, but half of it's a bunch of ads and everything that takes a normal 2 or 3 page article and turns it into an 8 or a 10 page article. But it has to do with Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 11/9. The trailer aims to expose Trump's evil genius. The fiery documentary filmmaker is back with a portrait of America's divide. Fahrenheit 9/11, Michael Moore's poemetic about George W. Bush and the war on terror, remains the highest grossing documentary of all times, and the national mood was splintered when the movie opened in 2004. Nothing compared to what it is now, almost 2 years into Donald Trump's presidency. Blah, 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 and it goes through here. Unfortunately, our choir is out of tune, and it's hard to hear our voices through all the sobbing and despair. All that ends on September 21. The choir needs a song to sing. Once we come together in beautiful harmony, the Trump crime family will be prosecuted, law and order will be restored, we'll have Medicare for all, and we'll declare that Game of Thrones must remain on air for at least 3 more seasons. Let's see, when they started making Fahrenheit 9/11, border borders are pushed. Here it is. What is the most startling revelation you found in meeting folks for this project? The revolution is happening in the most unlikely of places. The resistance, the true resistance, is not coming from the Democratic Party or from the liberal establishment. I can't reveal too much right now, but there is a real insurgency taking place. I don't know if it will succeed or not. It might be too late. And then he uses a lot of profanity. Blank hope starts with an F and rhymes with truck. And then seriously, F hope, F this player too, but F hope. Hope is passive. Hope gives you permission to let someone else do the work. Hope leads people to believe that tax returns or P-tape or the FBI or an adult film star will save the country. Hope and the passivity that comes with this is what's helped us to get here to begin with. It's the lazy way out. But what I find necessary is, you know, years ago when all the stuff going on in Afghanistan and Iraq, then they tried to portray the insurgents as, you know, those guys with the beard and the turban and AK-47 yelling Allah Akbar. And they, every once in a while, they'll bring out, well, the insurgents, the Taliban insurgents, the insurgency, the insurgency, the insurgency. And so it's kind of a selective word. I noticed that back when the Bundy issue was going on in Nevada and the up in Oregon, that instead of calling it the Sagebrush Rebellion, they started calling it the Sagebrush Insurgency. You know, once you've demonized a word or attached a negative connotation to it, then it's fairly easy to just use that word, and you don't have to go into a big long explanation as to where, what, you know, how, what it is. So, and that's what it is. So I just find it odd that he says, it's not coming from the Democratic Party or from the liberal establishment. I can't reveal too much right now, but there is a real insurgency taking place. Now here's another one. I noticed having a discussion with a listener this morning before the show kicked off, but it's how you have to be watching and capture this information real quick, because all of a sudden it'll just disappear. That, and this is from kjzz.org, and its low AZ merit score shows demographic splits amongst Arizona students. And it was published Wednesday, August 8th, and it was updated on Thursday the 9th. As Arizona students head back to school, the latest AZ merit test scores have come out, and the results are not good. Overall, the majority of students failed the mandatory state test, which includes math and reading portions. But when you break down the results further, there is also wide demographic splits. White and Asian students passed the exam at about twice the rate of Native American, Hispanic, and Black students. Dana Niemark, the president and CEO of Children's Action Alliance, joined the show to discuss these results. Here's another one. Now, there's two separate articles, and this is the one that I brought up on the last hour of the Intel report last Friday, and just because I haven't heard anybody mention it on our side, you would think because of the amount of effort that people bring forward to attack the Southern Poverty Law Center and Morris Dees, and over the years, you would think that this was a newsworthy item. So, well, again, no, I can't say that I haven't heard anybody talk about it, because I'm going to give you two people or two groups that actually published articles. But anyway, this first one is dated the 10th of August, 2018, and it's from thenewamerican.com. Justice Department will cut ties to Southern Poverty Law Center, Sessions says. And they don't say Southern Poverty Law Center, it's SPLC. Shortly after the news broke, the Federal Bureau of Investigation still maintains some ties to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a far-left fringe group widely condemned as the anti-Christian hate group by critics. Attorney General Jeff Sessions dropped a hammer, speaking in front of the mainstream Christian group of pro-freedom attorneys maligned by the SPLC. The Justice Department chief pledged that the DOJ would not be partnering with any organization that unfairly slanders or discriminates against Americans for their faith. Well, let's see, everybody including the SPLC knew exactly who Sessions was talking. While the radical group has become increasingly discredited and marginalized in recent years, the Attorney General's comments may represent the final nail in coffin for whatever credibility the SPLC might have still possessed amongst law enforcement. After all, this is an organization that smeared a Muslim as a leading anti-Muslim extremist, a Black law professor as an enabler of white supremacy, and a Cherokee Indian married to a descendant of Sacagawea as the matriarch of a vast anti-Indian movement, blah, blah, blah. It's an interesting article, but it does show hope that, and then there's also a similar article here, and this is from Breitbart.com. Jeff Sessions calls out SPLC. Conservative leaders optimistic FBI will cut ties. Attorney General Jeff Sessions criticized the left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center by name Wednesday as he spoke at the Religious Liberty Summit of the Alliance Defending Freedom, the ADF, the successful Christian public interest law firm, the SPLC designated hate group. The ADF earned the SPLC's anti-LGBT hate group designation after a string of Supreme Court victories that enraged the far left, most notably a successful defense of a Christian Colorado baker who refused to adorn a cake with phrases condoning homosexual marriage in this year's Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. So let's see some quotes from, yet people of faith are facing a new hostility, really a bigoted ideology, which is founded on animus towards people of faith. you'll notice that they don't rely on facts. They don't make better arguments. They don't propose higher ideals. No, they just call people names like hate group. Does that sound familiar? You know, I'm from Alabama, the home of the Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization that did important work in the South, vital work, in a pivotal time. But when I spoke to ADF last year, I learned that the Southern Poverty Law Center had classified ADF as a hate group. Many in the media simply parroted it as fact. Amazon relied solely on the Southern Poverty Law Center's designation and removed ADF from its SMILE program, which allows customers to donate to charities. So, golly, Sergeant Carter, maybe actually finally a little glimmer of hope. We'll see how it is. But once again, I didn't hear any of the ABC, NBC, CBS, Warner Brothers, RCA, and all the others, and CNN, and the Washington Post, and the New York Times picking up this condemning of the Southern Poverty Law Center. But at least maybe we can quit hearing studies by the Southern Poverty Law Center and putting up these studies that most likely they get paid millions of dollars to compile for the Justice Department. And the Justice Department is always citing statistics from the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center of this, that, and other study of racist and racism and these bad guys. And wasn't it also something, there was a guy named Corker, and it had something to do with, the Family Research Council in Washington, and he went around because that was when that Chick-fil-A stuff that was going on, so he had a backpack full of Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and he went to the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate site and downloaded their hate map and pinpointing all these targets, and this Corker went in and got into a shootout and a wrestling match with the security guard, but his plan, his manifesto, was to shoot these people and stuff these Chick-fil-A sandwiches in their mouth so the last thing they remembered was gurgling and gagging on a Chick-fil-A sandwich while he went around and murdered people at the direction of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now when I say direction, because he used a map off of the Southern Poverty Law Center to direct him where these locations were, and by labeling them as hate groups. But of course we don't hear anything about that. And of course the Southern Poverty Law Center is never held accountable or even mentioned in the news about those items pertaining to what is going on. Now, I know we've vacillated quite a bit today, and we haven't even got to our lesson about General Grievous on guerrilla war in Cyprus. I see we've got maybe 1 or 2 minutes until the bottom of the hour. And let's see, what's the story, Morning Glory? Today is the 13th of August, 2018. It's a Monday. Today, your mind is your primary weapon. You're tuned in to Liberty Tree Radio, and it's about 28 minutes after 8 a.m. Arizona time. My email address is altabib762@hotmail.com. Those first two words phonetically, Alpha Lima Tango Hotel Alpha Bravo, Echo, Bravo, 762@hotmail.com. I have one other one here. It has to do from insightcrime.org, and it's the ELN and the EPL. Conflicts intensifies at Colombia-Venezuelan border, and it's dated the 2nd of August, 2018. And so that's what, 11 days ago, so trying to catch up. I have some that's fairly recently about this prison stabbing and this wave of violence all over Mexico and these retaliation killings and everything. But, time permitting, like I say, if we run out of time today, then there's always the broadcasts on Thursday and Friday over at the Micro Effect. But as we're on the subject that funding, now we've passed the six-month deal here, and now it's time to try to help raise some funds to keep Liberty Tree Radio on the air. And actually, we're not paying this year's bill. We pay next year's bill at the beginning or at the end of December or so for next year's broadcast. And if we can pay the whole bill entirely, we can basically save 50% of the funds that are required if you would pay the bill month by month. So if you can find the time to help contribute to Liberty Tree Radio, what is that, libertytreeradio.4mg.com, and I'm sure you can figure out how to navigate the PayPal or the contribute to or the donate to, and all the contact information is there, and then you can be able to help keep Liberty Tree Radio on the air. And if you find that you enjoy your mind is your primary weapon, or if you enjoy all the other broadcasts or the Intel Report with Mark Pornke and Don Betcher, you might, along with your contribution to Liberty Tree Radio, drop a note in there and help out, give some back to the feedback loop to the radio station itself, and letting them know of which broadcast that you find valuable and the reasoning behind why you're contributing. So we're down at the bottom of the hour. I expect to hear some tunes any time now. Maybe we'll hear the Who's join together with the band, or maybe back over there to Lou Reed and Heroin. There we go. Take it away, Lou. We'll be right back.
see a mirror. I wish that I was born 1,000 years ago. I wish that I'd sail the darkened seas on a great big clipper ship, going from this land here to that. Put on a sailor's tan cap. From the big city, where a man cannot be free of all of the evils in this town, and of themselves and those around. And I guess that I just don't know. And I guess that I just don't know. My wife and it's my life, because I made a human thing into a center in my head, and then I'm better off than dead. When the blood begins to flow, then I really don't care anymore about all your sins in this town, and everybody putting everybody in a town, and all the politicians making crazy sounds, and all the dead bodies piled up in mounds. While that heroin is in my blood, and that blood is in my head, thank God I'm really dead. Thank your God I'm not aware. Thank God I just don't care. And I get it. I just don't know, and I guess that I just don't know.
Thank you.
Well, well, well. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike down here in Arizona land, 13 August 2018. It's the Monday. Your mind is your primary weapons. You're tuned in to Liberty Tree Radio. It's about 40 minutes after 8 a.m. Arizona time. My email address is altabeeb762@hotmail.com. That's altabeeb762@hotmail.com. Thanks, Edward, for playing that song. Kind of odd sometimes how these things line up. They have a little private radio station here in southern Arizona, and they played that song, I think it was on Friday afternoon. I'm not going to get into why I chose to play it anyway, but that's okay. As always, this Monday broadcast is dedicated to Lily Grace Antoinette. The first 30 minutes of the broadcast kind of covered quite a few things of about, the county board of supervisors not accepting Stone Garden funds for the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and something about some studies of school tests and breaking down the demographics. Attorney General Jeff Sessions condemning the Southern Poverty Law Center, and some border issues of about what's going on. Bob Miner, if you'd like to call and leave a message or some words of encouragement, his telephone number is 701-251-2365. 701-251-2365. A mechanical voice will come on, says you want to do this, you want to buy phone cards, you want to talk to him in person, you want to leave a message, and they want you to enter in the first three digits of his last name. That translates out to 646. And then you say, hey, Bob, this is Mike down here in Arizona land, just thinking of you. Hang in there, buddy. And you'll have about 7 to 10 seconds to leave a message. If you'd like to, you know, write Bob a letter or card, get well, be happy, don't worry, or something along those lines, kind of a card, it's a Robert Miner, M-I-N-E-R, and it's SCCC 205 6th Street Southeast, Suite 201, Jamestown, North Dakota, 58401. Robert Miner, M-I-N-E-R, and those four initials would translate out to Sierra, Charlie, 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 205 6th Street, Southeast, Suite 201, Jamestown, North Dakota, 58401. I have also a kind of a concept, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get ahead of the, it's more than just a comment on a news item that happens this week. It has to do with some of these protests in Washington and Charlottesville, but it's a bigger issue, a much, 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 much bigger, and it certainly didn't just happen last year. It certainly didn't happen 4 or 5 years ago. It's happened mostly likely, some of the seeds were planted and germinated back in, say, the at least the 1950s, or maybe even further back in the 1920s or 1880s, and how things have morphed and evolved and devolved and evolved, revolved into what the manifestation is today of about the comments and things like that. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and let that out, but there certainly is a lot of hypocrisy of about some of the information that is flowing out of the pie holes of the mainstream news media and their color commentary on the one-year anniversary of Charlottesville and how they tried to weave in the helicopter crash and this deal and that deal, but we're going to ignore this stuff and portray it as that. Anyway, if you'd like to call in and tell me how FOS and my eyes are brown here on today's broadcast, telephone number is 712-432-0900. That's 712-432-0900. 0900, And after you get there, they'll ask for the room number, and that's 957-464, and then the pound sign, and then star 6 will unmute your phone, and then you can come up and have your say, and I'll certainly let you have your say. I'm not going to let you get a half a sentence in and then tell you what you're really trying to say and say thanks for the call and go to the next one, because I don't see it that way, that I really try to truly, if you have something to contribute to today's broadcast, I'm more than willing to let you say your piece. So if there's anybody out there that'd like to tell me that they enjoy the broadcast, they think it sucks, you know, we've been on since the 8th of January, and don't hear a lot back except one or two, which is good. And I understand there's part of it that people don't want to interrupt the flow of information because they have or they see that what I have to present here is actually important, and it's not necessarily just the standard fare of the diatribe on, oh, here's the news item, let me tell you how to interpret it, thanks for listening today, I'll see you tomorrow stuff that it's this talk show stuff has kind of devolved into, not a whole lot of that stuff. Well, I heard a ringy dingy dingy. I'm wondering if there's somebody out there that would like to chime in. Go ahead if you'd like to, please.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Jim from Illinois. Good morning. I appreciate your call. Go ahead.
Hey, speaking to the you know, Charlottesville and all these other protests and that, I was just walking around doing a little bit of research and investigation on history, and I ran across a group called the Loyal Nine. They are basically American patriots from Boston who would meet in secret to plan protest against the Stamp Act of 1765. They're mostly middle-class businessmen. The Loyal Nine enlisted Ebenezer McIntosh to rally large crowds of commoners to their cause and provide the protesters with food, drink, and supplies. The Loyal Nine was a precursor to the Sons of Liberty. The group is credited with establishing the Liberty Tree as a central gathering place for Boston patriots. That was basically quoting Wikipedia. You know, some people cringe at that, but I use Wikipedia basically as a jumping-off point, and then I'll do my investigation and research from there. And I never know where I wind up. What's interesting is this Ebenezer McIntosh, he was known to be able to raise basically mobs, you know. And, you know, I find the striking similarity with the same groups of La Raza, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you know, and, of course, George Soros, who is a member of the group of No Lives Matter. But the tactics, these go back into the depths of time. We have to realize that. And the other thing I just took a vacation on my thought there for a second. Go ahead and say something. Maybe I can get it back.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I know that sometimes when we get going in one direction, all of a sudden you take a left turn and it's like, whoa, shook that one. I'm not so sure we're going to have enough time to do the study about General Grievous on guerrilla war in Cyprus today. So we'll kind of set that one to the side. I do have some other news items, but I'm not trying to imply that I want to cut your telephone conversation short, because I do really appreciate your input, because it's very insightful on the research that you've done here as we're talking about, well, where's the real starting point on the funding and these tactics. And, you know, I guess a couple of weeks ago, I kind of went back to some of these tactics and attributed them to God and to what he did with the Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron about let my people go. And he kept saying, this is my standard, these are my demands to let my people go. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, and pretty soon it was floods, and the water turned red, and the frogs and the locusts and the this and the boils, and pretty soon the cattle were dying and the people were dying, and just kept up in the ante of about the two audiences that the terror or God had, or he had the message for the people, the primary, and that was to the Pharaoh, and then the secondary message was that to the Egyptian people themselves, or to the Israelites, or was they one of those two a tertiary target for the message? So, you know, maybe I have a twisted way of perceiving and looking at things, but to get back to the origin of where some of these tactics, techniques, and procedures that clearly identifiable back after the Israelites were let out of bondage, and by the upping the ante up to and including death on a mass scale, that eventually the God won out and Pharaoh temporarily let the Israelites go. But, of course, barely had they even started out their journey, and they were still in Egypt before they started grumbling and implying that somehow there's enough graves back in Egypt, why do we need more out here, and maybe it would be better off if we'd go there. And they still failed to see the miracles of the all the plagues that God had brought, and of about the pillar of smoke during the day and the pillar at light, of light at night to lead them, and separating the Red Sea, and they still continued to grumble, perpetually making a golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and God had finally had it and said, I'm going to go down there and utterly destroy those people because thou art a stiff-necked people. And they sat there and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until mostly that generation had passed away.
I might add that being stiff-necked is stubborn. And I learned a new terminology from a neighbor yesterday, a new term, and it's called belligerent stupidity. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are people who refuse to learn, adapt, and overcome. They're not teachable. The basic struggle is that of good and of evil. The good spell being that of that honors life as given by the Creator to each individual, not as a collective. The evil is the I call them the death cult, because they're into bondage and usurpation, theft. You know, they're criminal, and that's basically what I had taken a vacation on earlier before I asked your help to talk. That's what I wanted to say, and so having said all those things, I think I've made my contribution. I thank you, Mike, for being up on this platform. Thanks for taking my call. And be well. Blessings of liberty. And I'm going to back out and listen.
Very good. Well, I would like to say thank you for taking the time to call. And thank you for taking the time for all that you do to help contribute to your mind as your primary weapon. So as we trace these things back through time, if you will, like I say, go ahead. All right, maybe it was a glitch. Maybe It was in the Matrix. So anyway, let's see, where were we? Jim made up, brought up a very interesting part of, you know, when we sit here and do the research into groups, concepts, and we want to go back to a certain starting point in this whole concept of about insurgency, terrorism. Now, is God the terrorist, or are the terrorists copying some of the methods that are utilized by God? And I know some people perceive that as blasphemy, but sometimes that's my, when I do the research, I don't sit here like if I'm looking at the militaries in World War II, and I want to look at the capabilities of the soldier or the weapons, the artillery, the tanks, the planes, whether it's with the Germans, the Soviets, or the Americans, or however it is. But generally, I don't get bogged down into political ideologies, even though Clausewitz said that war is an extension of politics. But then when we get back there, but sometimes when we let the politics get too far into it, then sometimes that can cloud the true research. And where do we go back? Do we go back 5 or 10 years ago, back to the 1980s? Because there's some of these tactics and techniques, as an example, look at what happened in Rhodesia and South Africa on how that these people had come in here, discovered the gold and the diamonds, built great big gleaming cities, and then all of a sudden you're a bunch of racists and we want you out of here and you have to turn these cities over to these communists, and the communists have no clue of about how to create and develop. All they do is know how to destroy for the sake of destruction. And now look at what has happened in Zimbabwe, that their massive superinflation you never hear about, hardly ever. The genocide in South Africa. And so where does it start? Or do we go back into the 1950s, post-World War II? Or do we go back, there were two groups of people that emigrated to the United States in around the turn of the century. There were some in the 1880s that came and actually wanted to assimilate and to be Americans. And then there was another group in around the 1920s that had other socialist slash communist leanings. And that, do we go back that far to do our research? Or do you want me to go all the way back to the book of Exodus and using the examples of Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron and God and let my people go on those tactics, techniques, and procedures? Sometimes there's got to be a line that needs to be drawn of about how far back, as we've covered here in our study of the War of the Flea, that chances are the Aboriginal Britons most likely used some form of insurgency against the invading Roman legions, and most likely the Cro-Magnon man used some type of insurgent tactics against Neanderthal man sometimes way back, is to where to demonize them and then attack them. And of course, some of those tactics, techniques, and procedures were fairly crude at the time, but over the years they've been honed and refined and made better and better until you have well-developed, well-oiled, a look at what Ahmad Shah Massoud, the Lion of the Panjshir, did against the Soviets in Afghanistan in the 1980s. Well, unfortunately, today's broadcast is only 1 hour long, and we got about 8:59 in Arizona time on the 13th of August, 2018. It's a Monday, and you're tuned in to Liberty Tree Radio. Now, if you'd like to help expand your mind is your primary weapon out to maybe 2 hours, well, then maybe you need to actually physically contribute some money to Liberty Tree Radio, because I ain't footing the bill, but you can help contribute to it. We'll be drinking champagne. Sounds like we're going out here with the old Bob Dylan song of I Used to Care. The things have changed. Well, thanks for being with us today. And tomorrow, we'll be right back. And as always, we send this one out to Lily, Grace, Antoinette. Thanks for being with us again today. And God bless you all.
Any minute now, I'm expecting all hell to break loose. People are crazy and times are strange. Locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. Should be in Hollywood. Just a second there, I thought I saw.